I want to welcome those who are watching online, and if you're in the room, take your Bible or your phone or your iPad and turn to Daniel chapter 9. And while you're turning, let me just say a word of congratulations to our pastor search committee, to Dr. Sean Keels, his wife Bonnie. I look forward to them being our pastor, and starting in January, from now through the end of December, we will finish our study from the book of Daniel. But I'm excited about the future of our church. For our friends from Stillwater who have not been a part of this 12-week series so far, let me just set the context for this incredible chapter. And if you're here today with trouble or turmoil in your life, tribulations that seem to get you down, this chapter, by the time we're done, will be one of the most encouraging chapters for you in terms of getting on your knees and asking the Lord to help you. By the time we finish this morning, you'll be inspired to realize that your captain, the Lord Jesus Christ, is fighting for you. And in the end, he will always win. The struggle that you're going through is a struggle of not being able to see him working behind the scenes. And this morning in Daniel 10, you'll see him working clearly on behalf of his people. Daniel 9, the chapter previous, is a prophecy that God's covenant with the nation of Israel would be coming to an end. And because Daniel is a member of the nation of Israel, this really disturbed him. It would be similar to you as an American hearing that the United States of America will be conquered by the Chinese in the year 2049. Were this to be a prophecy revealed to you from the Lord, you would be troubled for your children, your grandchildren, and your nation. So when Daniel sees this vision that God's agreement with the nation of Israel would come to an end, it broke him. But the Lord came to him in his breaking in Daniel 9 and shows Daniel through the angel Gabriel that even though the Lord would end that agreement with Israel, we call it the old covenant, at the same time, he would come to inaugurate a new agreement with the entire world, all the nations, including Daniel's people, the Jews. This is the message of the book of Daniel. And it is so powerful and so inspiring. It's the good news that we take to the nations that I hope you'll see, no matter how troubled your world is right now, when you catch a glimpse of the glory of Jesus Christ, all of your despair will dissipate and disappear. Because God is at work in this world. And even if you don't see it, he reigns. And Daniel 10 shows you how. We can divide this chapter into three segments. Three segments that help us easily comprehend what this text from the Holy Scriptures is teaching. The first is the first three verses of this chapter, where Daniel is in mourning, because even though he received encouragement in Daniel 9, about the new agreement, this new vision he receives in Daniel 10, 11, and 12 shows him that though God had a purpose for the nation of Israel until the coming of Yeshua to establish a new agreement with the world, that time period from Daniel's day to the birth of Yeshua would involve great conflict for his people. Because of his mourning, the Messiah appears to Daniel, beginning in verse 4, going through verse 9. This is what theologians call a Christophany. It is an appearance of Jesus Christ before he is born in Bethlehem. And I'll show you this Christophany as we work our way through this chapter. And then Daniel 10 ends with the third section. The angel Gabriel comes and ministers to Daniel. He assists Daniel. I find it interesting that everything associated with the good news of Jesus and what he does for the nations in his life, death, burial, and resurrection always is preceded by the ministry of Gabriel. He is the announcer of good news. Daniel's mourning in the beginning of this chapter pictures the kind of mourning that a prophet would have when he sees his nation in rebellion against the Lord. Let's begin reading. I will read from the New American Standard Version these first three verses. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar. That's his Babylonian name. And the message was true and of one great conflict, but he understood the message and he had an understanding of the vision. And the vision of great conflict for his people Israel is laid out in chapter 11 and chapter 12. The chapters we'll be looking at through December. Let's continue in verse 2. In those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. Now, let me pause right there. Verse 1 shows us that there is an editor to Daniel's scroll, because the editor writes verse 1. Daniel is referred to in the third person. But beginning in verse 2, it is Daniel who writes, and he tells us that he has had a vision. By the way, we know how old Daniel was when he had this vision. He was 90 years old, the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. We know Cyrus conquered Babylon in October of 539. So if you go to 536 or 535, Daniel is 90 years old. Just a word to those of you who are 90 or older. It is a travesty when in our country we put those with white hair on the shelf. It is my opinion that the older you get in your walk with the Lord, the clearer your vision of the world and God at work is. And I would say to every one of you who has a grandma or a grandfather who loves Jesus, listen to what they say. Daniel is 90 when he gets this vision. And it so disturbs him, he mourns. He can't eat, he can't drink for 21 days. Verse 4, on the 24th day of the first month, while I was by the bank of the great river that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen. Before we continue, I want to explain to you why Daniel was mourning and why Jesus appears. Daniel knew that his nation, the nation of Israel, had broken covenant with Yahweh. They had broken the agreement that they had with God. Now, what was that agreement? We saw it a couple of weeks ago. The Lord said to one nation among all the nations of the world, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my commandments, then I will give you blessings. We call this the Old Covenant. You read about it in the Old Testament. The Old Covenant is all about the nation of Israel. God chose them to enter into a very special conditional agreement. The Lord went on to say to this nation, Daniel's nation, but if you do not obey me, and if you do not carry out my commandments, then in turn I will appoint you to sudden terror. Your enemies will conquer you. That's the story of Israel. And that's why Daniel is in Babylonian captivity. Babylon conquered Israel. And Daniel knew why. They had broken agreement with Yahweh. And so he pleads with Yahweh and says, Lord, we have rebelled. I know that, but please, Lord, don't give up on us. And Yahweh says to Daniel, Daniel, no, the time of agreement with the nation of Israel has come to an end. I'm going to divorce this nation, but don't despair, Daniel, because I promise you, when I end this agreement, I will begin something new. I will come to enter into a new agreement with all the nations of the world. We call this the New Covenant. Now, let me show you how beautiful the New Covenant is. And I hope you can comprehend it this morning. I'll be as simple as I can. In the Old Testament, when you look at the nation of Israel, everything they tried to do in obedience to the Lord, they failed. Every promise they made, they broke. Every desire they had that was good, they ended up turning from. And so the Lord says, listen, I love you, but I'm ending the agreement, and I am coming myself, sending my son as the true Israel. And if you look at the life of Yeshua, Jesus, everything about his life parallels precisely the nation of Israel. As a child, he's in Egypt, just like the nation of Israel was in Egypt. When the nation left the bondage of the Egyptians under the leadership of Moses, they crossed the Jordan River to go into the land of Canaan. At the very place Jesus was baptized, it's called Beth Abara. For 40 years, Israel wandered in the wilderness. For 40 days, Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted by the same enemy that tempted the nation of Israel. When you look at the life of Jesus, he was born in the national festival of Tabernacles. He died in Israel's national festival of Passover. He was in the tomb sweeping away our sins during the national festival of unleavened bread. He rose from the grave on the national feast of the waving of the first fruits. That is why in the New Covenant scriptures, every time resurrection is mentioned, it is in terms of first fruits. Christ is the first fruits of resurrection. We will follow as the general harvest. He sent his spirit on the national day of Pentecost. And he came in judgment on the nation of Israel in the Feast of Trumpets 40 years after he rose from the dead in AD 70. It's an incredible parallelism between the failure of national Israel and the success of the true Israel, the Son of Yahweh. You say, okay, but why does that make me any difference? Oh, this is the good news. You see, what is promised the person who completely obeys Yahweh? Blessings. What is the history of your life? Like the history of the nation of Israel. You haven't been really good at it, have you, in pleasing the Lord, in your thoughts, your words, your actions, your deeds? Oh, but Yeshua did. In him was no guile. He sinned neither in thought, action, nor deed. What did Yeshua, the Son of God, deserve because of his obedience? The full, unadulterated, uncompromising blessings of Yahweh. But he died on the cross. Why? He was bearing our sins, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is immortal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's the deal, sinner. When you put your faith in Yeshua, all the blessings of God are yours because the righteousness of Yeshua becomes yours through your faith. And all of your failures that deserve the judgment of God are given to Yeshua, who died in your stead. So the incredible promise of the good news is this: we're all sinners, but when we trust the true Israel, the blessings of God are ours, and we can rest in Him. This is why you should be very careful to always find a church that exalts the person and work of Jesus Christ and His love for sinners, rather than a church that exalts our personal obedience to God and our love for Jesus Christ. Because in the end, we will always fail. But in the end, Yeshua always wins. Where is your hope? It's in Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. That means what I do, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. That's a great message. And Daniel catches a glimpse of it. The new covenant is coming. But listen now, he is depressed for his nation. He's in mourning. They had a special relationship with God, but that is being broken because of their rebellion. And he sees this vision of conflict coming to his nation, the nation of Israel, and he can't eat and he can't drink. So he begins to pray. And the Messiah appears to him after 21 days of prayer. You catch a glimpse of the Messiah in your distress. You catch a glimpse of His eternal glory and your distress of being diagnosed with cancer, your distress of finding out that your wife is struggling with drugs or alcohol. It has a tendency to dissipate because you begin to see Christ in His glory at work in His kingdom behind the scenes. Christ appears beginning in verse 4. We read that verse. Let me continue with verse 5. The Bible says, Daniel, I lifted up my eyes and I looked, and behold, this man was dressed in linen. His waist was girded with a belt of pure gold. His body was like beryl. His face had the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches. His arms and feet like the gleam of polished bronze. And the sound of his words were like the sound of rushing waters, is what the Hebrew says. Tumult in English. Verse 7. Now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them. They knew something was happening, and they ran away to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, yet no strength was left in me, for my natural color turned to a deathly pallor, and I retained no strength. But I heard the sound of his words, and as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. I got to ask you a question. When the sound of Messiah's voice is heard, when the words from the Messiah, a Christophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus, are heard by Daniel, he falls asleep. Now, I could make some kind of joke about the fact, hey, go ahead, you can fall asleep when I preach. Because it happened with Jesus. Except for the fact, I may put you to sleep because I'm boring. Jesus puts people to sleep for another purpose. Every time he shows his people a glimpse of his glory and what he'll do for the nations through his work, he puts people to sleep. Abraham was put to sleep, and the glory of God passed through the sacrifice. As God said to Abraham, I will bless all the nations through your seed. Daniel was put to sleep. Daniel, I'm ending the covenant with the nation of Israel. Go to sleep as I show you what I'm doing for the nations. Why would God do that? Listen, if you're awake, you'll want to do something. But when God puts you to sleep, he's telling you, this is all up to me. I will get it done. The new covenant is up to Christ. He will get it done. You say, but how do you know this man in linen with the gold belt, with the voice of rushing waters? How do you know it's Jesus? Well, his appearance is exactly like Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. In fact, it's the same description. You can read it in Mark 9. And when the disciples saw this carpenter from Nazareth transformed before their eyes, they saw the glory of Yahweh. This is Yahweh appearing to Daniel. His appearance is like Jesus in the book of Revelation, chapter 1. By the way, when you open up your Bible and you read the book of Revelation, don't think it's a revelation about the world. No, look at the subtitle. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's an unveiling of who he is. And in Daniel chapter 10, the same phraseology is used that John uses in Revelation chapter 1. He has a voice like the sound of many rushing waters. This is the Messiah coming to Daniel. Notice, only Daniel saw the vision. Everybody else knew something was happening, and they were full of dread, and they fled, just like when Paul met the risen Christ. Nobody else saw the vision on that road to Damascus, except for Paul. You see the parallelism here. This is Yeshua coming to give encouragement. Daniel fell on his face and worshiped this man in a prone position as he went to sleep. You do not worship anyone but the Lord. Even the Apostle Paul, when people came to him because of the miracles that were being performed under his hand, they fell to worship him. And Paul said, get up, get off your face. Worship the Lord alone. Here's the point. If you're in the middle of deep depression, deep discouragement, maybe you were arrested and nobody even knew you were struggling. And now all of a sudden you're facing your family and you can't even eat. You're so sick at what you've done. When you are depressed, catch a glimpse of Christ's glory and you will find that your depression dissipates. Now, that's the second section. We close this morning with the third section. And I'm almost out of time. But community group leaders, if you don't mind, please give me some grace this morning. Got started a little bit late, and what I'm about to show you is so incredibly important. If you're 4 or 5 minutes late, I think it's worth it because of what you're going to see in this last section of Daniel 10. When Daniel awakes, there is a messenger beside him. Gabriel is his name. This third section, you have Gabriel coming to minister to Daniel, telling him to wake up. And we're going to read just a couple of portions of this text. It begins in verse 10. Behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I'm about to tell you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. Notice, messengers, angels are always sent by the Lord to minister to his people. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then Gabriel said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this vision and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. I want to show something to you that I hope you never miss. In Daniel chapter 9, when Daniel sees a vision that disturbs him, in verse 23, the Bible says he begins to pray, and immediately Gabriel was sent to minister to him that day. Here, just one chapter later, although Daniel is much older, age 90, he sees another, a final vision, and he's so disturbed he can't eat. And on the day he bends his knee, heaven moves, and Gabriel is sent. But it takes 21 days for Gabriel to get there. I got to ask you a question. What's the difference between the 21 days of Daniel 10 and the immediacy of Daniel 9? A word of encouragement to everyone in this room who has a kingdom purpose in mind for your life. When you get on your knees and you ask the Lord for help, whatever it may be, when you are all about the kingdom of God, principalities and powers in dark places come against you. Notice why it took 21 days. We begin reading in verse 13. I came to you in response to your words, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, the first among the chief princes. By the way, in Hebrew, the first here, it's the cardinal word. First among, not one of, poor English translation. The first among the chief princes. Help me, and now I have arrived. And by the way, this Michael, who is the first among the chief princes, is mentioned in the last verse of chapter 10, where Gabriel calls Michael your prince. Daniel, Michael is your prince. He is the first among all princes. Watch this now. And I just want to encourage you if you're struggling. The messengers of God. And by the way, pastors are messengers too. They're sent from God. Stand up, do not be afraid, is what the angel said. There's a war going on in heaven, Daniel. I was sent the first day you got on your knees, but the prince of Persia fought me. Who is that prince? I believe among all the nations of the world, and particularly leaders and kings, there are forces, principalities, and powers that are at work seeking to destroy countries. That's why the Apostle Paul says, do not think your fight is against flesh and blood. I'm going to give a 2021 translation of Paul's words in Ephesians 6. My brethren, your fight is not against Democrats or Republicans. You are fighting principalities and powers that are seeking to destroy your nation. But Michael, your prince, will rescue you. Stand up, take courage. Michael, your prince, wins the victory. Who is this Michael? I want you to listen, and I'll be done with this. Michael is Yeshua. He is the man that he saw at the river Tigris. He's the man in linen, the man with the voice of rushing waters, the second person of the Trinity. I sometimes get hammered with this. What I'm telling you is orthodox. For 1900 years, Christians have taught this. Only within the last 100 have they said that Michael is some kind of angelic being. No, Michael is ruler over the angels. The word arch means ruler. And there's only one archangel mentioned in Scripture, and it is Michael. Michael is a title of who? Of the prince of all princes, the king of all kings. Michael in Hebrew means who is like God. And what Gabriel comes to say to Daniel is this: Michael, your Messiah, your prince, he wins the conflict. This is why when I show you the vision in Daniel chapter 11, and it's incredible, it'll take us 2 weeks. The first half next week, the last half the next week, when we come to the end of this, which is a vision of the conflict of the nation of Israel for 490 years, and it disturbs Daniel. But in the end, Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, at that time, Michael shall arise. And John Gill, the great Hebrew commentator, says, Michael the archangel, Jesus the Messiah, and his angels under him fight for Yahweh's people, protects them and defends them. And since he is for his people, who shall be against them? The gates of hell shall not prevail. This is the teaching of Daniel 10. So now watch this, and I'm done. Thank you for your patience. This world has been at war. This world is still at war. And this world will continue to be at war. When we see what is happening in our city and our country, When we see all that is occurring, we think to ourselves, oh, God, where are you? Our nation has turned its back on you. And it's as if when we get on our knees and begin to pray, the forces of hell come against us. And Gabriel is sent to minister, but says, listen, you're a kingdom man, and all the forces of evil are coming against you. Don't be surprised when you have marital problems, when you turn your heart over to the Lord. Don't be surprised when you're diagnosed with a disease, when you get more kingdom-minded than you've ever been. Don't be surprised when you find conflict among your children or in your church when you're talking about the kingdom. Why? Because the principalities and powers and forces of evil in dark places that you cannot see are coming against you. But I've got good news for you. Michael, the prince, wins. Stand up. Be courageous. Take heart. Your prince wins. This is why. When you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, not one thing ever enters your life, but that he either permits it, promotes it, or prohibits it. He is your prince. When you get on your knees, the day you begin to pray, heaven begins to move. But if you go a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or more without seeing a response to your prayers, it's only a time of conflict in realms you cannot see, but be encouraged like Daniel was encouraged. And remember, when he got up and went about his work, he founded the school of the Magi, and he gave them his scroll, and he says, guys, the prince is coming. This will happen, 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 this will happen. But the one who will save the nations will arise. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and we celebrate it every Christmas, the Magi from the east, from the school of Daniel, came asking the question, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? And I'll tell you where he is. He's in your bedroom, your living room, your backyard, your place of business, your church, your home, your life. Your prince wins in the end. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. And my prayer this morning is that if there is one here, man, woman, boy, or girl, who has never placed their faith in Yeshua, Lord, my prayer is that the understanding of the gospel will have been made clear, and what it means to trust you will be brought home to the heart. Thank you for this church that loves you and loves the kingdom. And my prayer is that when we see forces coming against us, we don't put a face on it. We don't call it flesh or blood, but we see it for what it is. A battle in spiritual realms. Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Yeshua's name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Let's stand together. Our dismissal this morning is just going to be a verbal blessing upon everyone here today. If you have a question about coming to know Christ, we'll wait. Stay behind, talk with you. Guys, thank you for being here. Go help Trail Life, buy some Christmas goodies, go out and help our friends from Stillwater. But more than anything, go out and live for Jesus and celebrate his coming, and we'll see you Friday night at the lighting of the Christmas tree. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.